Na med det. So what happens is what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Again, if you study that one out, it's a baptism of fire, where God purges and burns away the chaff. It's something that it begins to be something that the power of God does within. You know how I knew I was saved. You know, no one preached to me. I got saved in my bedroom, filled with the Holy Ghost, started confessing things to my wife, started to read the Bible, and all of a sudden, I went to church twice, and they sang a song, Hallelujah Anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. No matter what life might bring, hold your head up high and sing Hallelujah Anyhow. So all of a sudden, I'm on my way to work. Phew, I get a flat tire. Boom. Man, I get out there and I change the tire and I find myself humming the song, Hallelujah Anyhow. And all of a sudden I get in the car and I go, wow, I'm saved. You know, that. See, if it was on the other hand, I'd have been kicking the car, I'd have got to work and I'd have made you miserable because that's who I was. I wasn't a good person. See, God, he's different. The Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it begins to purge out some of the things that you cannot. Some of the things you'd want to leave, but don't leave that easy. So we allow the Holy Spirit to do what it wants to do, amen, to change us into the image of God. So when we talk about a promise, see, this promise is a really big promise. You don't want to miss out on this promise. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in water, start taking those steps, and God will turn your life into something, I think, amazing. Man, we're going to have to probably give you the church. Phil's, he's smiling back there. So it goes on. It says, so when you come together, you're asking him, Lord, it is that at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed his own authority, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You don't want to resist the Holy Ghost. It is the power of God. You understand, the Holy Spirit is something that God promised, that God went and defeated all these things, and now he's going to empower you to be something different. And so, I don't know, that's what he wanted in my life. I know that. And so then he said, but you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the remote parts of the earth. Now, it's kind of important that we begin to see something here, that God suddenly takes your life and he turns it around. And I don't know about you, you know, my dream was to be the greatest marijuana grower in the world. I guess if I was still in the world, I was born in the wrong era, because today it's legal. You know, but God takes your life, you know. You don't have anybody that loves you, only my wife, and she was doubting that, and my mother. And God turns you around. Yeah, you know, I don't know about you. Freedom is probably the most precious feeling that you could ever imagine, and you can't get it without the Holy Ghost. If you can't learn to submit to the Holy Spirit, there's always going to be some little thing hanging on to you that you want to be able to get rid of. And so, you know, we sing these songs, Sweet Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Man, don't make it a joke. Don't make it just the lip service. Open up your heart when you sing that song. And let God begin to come in by the power and presence of his Holy Spirit, because it's a promise of God. He said, if we'll ask for the Holy Spirit, that he'll give it to us. And so, when you think about it, I thought about this for a minute, that, you know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it was probably the greatest outpouring of the presence of God ever known to man. And it started there. That's where it started. And God begins to do this same promise, and he goes out and he commissions us to do to do some of these things. But, you know, God's presence among his people, it's an amazing thing. It, you know, his presence in our heart. You see, what happened is nobody had to say a word anymore. I started feeling convicted. You know, I got saved. No one told me right from wrong. No one told me anything like that. I got rid of all my drugs and packed them all up. But then maybe about 7 days later, I'm cruising down the car and the devil's trying to take it away from me. You understand? He's pretty good at it, ain't he? And so I rolled a joint, took one hit off that thing, and something inside said, "You don't want to go there." So I flipped that thing out the window. I flipped that little bag out the window. You know, then the next day I went home and began to destroy all the other stuff. But the Holy Spirit began to be a witness inside. I didn't need somebody to tell me something. The Holy Spirit began to say, "Harley, you don't want to do that. There's something so much better. There's something so much more fulfilling." And you know, as we begin to learn that the presence of God's Holy Spirit is something that we want to embrace in our life. You see, he says not to resist the Holy Spirit, but he said to welcome the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, what happens is that, you know, the Holy Spirit suddenly comes into people's lives. And you know, you see that it began to be a whole community then. You know, I mean, God began to move. And that's what he wants to do even to this day. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, and verse 20 says this: "For where two or three gather together in my name, I am there in their midst." See, so what can happen? Wow. What do you need? What do you need? You know, don't come up here and say you need a Cadillac. Don't start there, because that's just going to lead you down another road. Start with, "God, take me, cleanse me, free me." You know, that's where it starts. And when you begin to do that, who knows what God has there. But you think about that. You know, the gathering together of the community of God, he says, "Wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst." Where's God? He's here. You understand? He's here. You don't have to wonder about it. How many came in the name of Jesus? He's here. The presence of God came to the church. It's a promise. You see, it began to change a community. See, sometimes we've given up some of the things of the Spirit of God and the presence of God, and we've replaced it with a lot of other things, but it's never too late to get that forgiveness of God and turn into this place where we begin to earnestly desire the things of God. Now, in chapter 18 and verse 20, it says that. It says, "For wherever two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst." Well, wow, man. I don't know about you. It goes down into the next verse. The verse before that, I want to say, again, in verse 19, it says in Matthew, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." These are some pretty serious things he's talking about. This is the creator of the universe that said, "Let there be light," and pow, ain't nothing could stop it. That said, let the whole earth was covered with water, and he said, "Let the earth and the land separate." And the Spirit of God moved on the water, wow, separated. We're talking about a God that I won't say you, but my little brain obviously cannot understand. And you know, it's spiritual things understand God, but not the natural. The natural doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. And yet God loves us so much that he wants us to know that if two of us will agree on anything, do you realize how powerful agreement is? Oh, I tell you, it's hard to get people to agree. You know, I went and preached at a church years ago up in Red Lake Reservation. And it was funny because I felt led to share an experience. in this church. And so I'm telling them how, you know, in our church, we were going to paint the church. And so we asked people what color they wanted, and we got about a dozen different colors right away. And so then the next service, after we painted the church, we got a couple ladies sitting in the pews, and this one lady, rather than listening to the message of God, she pokes the other lady in the side and says, "Look at the color of this church. Isn't it disgusting?" Didn't hear a word from God. She was caught up because they didn't paint it the color she wanted. And so, you know, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you, every little thing that we can, we just disagree. And yet God says if two or three can agree on anything, asking me, it shall be. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, I feel convicted by God. When I sat there, I read this, I feel convicted about God because my brains just aren't close enough to the things of God to allow God just to, God do it. God do the wow. How many, God is a wow God. He can do what our minds just don't understand. And so I want God to begin to be God. I want people to begin to be free enough to realize that what we need to do is to agree and grab issues and things and needs and begin to agree on them and touch on them and start to ask God. We need to get to that place. Now, we look again and we see that agreement is a powerful thing. But, you know, as we get to the message that Paul began to proclaim, it's kind of funny because Paul was saying that the gospel message was the most powerful message in the world. The good news of Jesus Christ is the most powerful message in the world. That was Paul. He went around the world. He dedicated his life to proclaiming the gospel. And he said in Romans 15, I want to read something there. Romans 15, I'm going to start in verse 18. He says, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." You know, I want to tell you something. You know, I got to confess, my heart and my mind have been gone. You know, years ago when we had drug rehabs, we still, at least 50% recovery, long term. We'd take them right off the streets, 38 guys living in the house, just they wouldn't let anybody go. God moving unbelievably. I mean, we would go to places, we'd see the power of God do things that most eyes have never seen. And then you get to this day, and it's a little bit harder, and yet God never changed. I don't know what I'm swallowing. I don't know. You know, the Holy Spirit didn't change. Yes, the world is getting worse, but that doesn't mean the Spirit is getting less. Doesn't mean that it isn't going to happen for the people of God who gather in His name and ask. And it doesn't mean that we won't see the miracle power of God, but sometimes I let the Holy Spirit take a second place to my own understanding. I don't take these steps of faith. I used to. I mean, I sat there with a guy that was ahead of five states, and he was going to throw me in jail in India. Had the whole family in jail. Had the whole Bible school in jail. And I said, God said, tell him to do whatever he thinks he can. I said, I ain't telling him nothing. I mean, this guy's got 20 guys with machine guns guarding him. And finally, I said it. I said, do whatever you think you can do. I said, we ain't been hiding anything. Man, that guy, I tell you what, I've told you the story, I won't go through it again, but God made that man my friend. And he made him help us through a long little process of some miracle working things. But, you know, today I don't stand there and say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I don't care what you might think. You know, if you're opposing God, thus saith the Lord. And, you know, we can grab somebody that's struggling, we can get another one, and we can say, let's pray for them. Let's do something that God is asking us to do in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we can begin to see God doing some miraculous things. I don't know about you, but the power of agreement, Paul begins to speak about these things. And he said, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. In other words, these people were changing becoming obedient to the things of God. I mean, these are Gentiles that were doing every kind of crazy thing you can think of, having sex with their mother-in-law. God was changing them. Let alone, you know, we think about what they're trying to do in schools and all these things like that. God is bigger than some of these things. He just is. He wants us to love people. He wants us to preach truth. He wants us to be able to change some things and begin to ask powerfully. Now it goes on. It says, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and around about, as far as Isilia, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You know, until we let God move and God do what he wants to do, we're not fully preaching the word of God. Well, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. I don't know if they want to hear it. So what? Don't want to hear it. We got to hear what they got to say. You know, God is, he's able. We had a guy that he would come to the prayer meetings, but he wouldn't say a sinner's prayer. Oh, don't put me on the spot. Don't put me. He did that about 4 weeks in a row, didn't he, Jenny? Not yet. No, don't put me on the spot. Finally, about the fourth week, I said, man, brother, you're going to do it today. Today is the day of salvation. Stop putting it off. I'm not going to let you put it off. That's what I said. And he prayed and got saved. His whole life changed from that day on. But sometimes we'll let people escape into the things of God. And yet the power of the Holy Spirit is able to transform people's lives beyond our understanding. And so I guess that's why it works a little easier for some of us. We're not as intelligent as some of you. But our own intelligence can really get in the way of God. If you try to think your way through all your situations and problems and trials, you're in trouble. But if you'll trust God, he'll do something. Trusting isn't figuring it out. That's what we tell people. You can't think it out. You got to trust God. You got to give it to the Lord, and then God begins to work it out. God begins to do something. Now, it goes on. It says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, that I would not build on another man's foundations, but it is written, they who have no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. You see, one thing I begin to realize is that the gospel is this powerful message, but it you know, seeing is more powerful than words. See, we got to get beyond just words, church. People got to see. And so, you know, Paul, he got it to the place where people seen and they understood. Well, one thing they understood is this is the way to go. And you know, he also seen that some aren't going to go. And yet, this is the way to go. You know what I'm saying? They seen God. They begin to see what God can do, and they understood. So now they're without excuse if they don't walk into those things. See, I think God wants to do powerful things in the day that we live because we're in a day where people need to see. We've been saying too many words. We've been running around words. We need to begin to see the demonstration of what God wants to do, and that means we got to put it out there. Now, in Romans 8, verse 16, it says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We are. Sometimes we struggle, yeah. Don't live there. Turn all the struggles to Jesus. You know, I don't care who you are, you have struggles. When we went to Florida, everybody said, well, you're going on vacation. Well, we had things we had to do. And so, you know, the grass is knee high in the place we got down there. And I don't know about you, nobody is without troubles or trials or tribulations. You know, and so we get down there and 20 minutes into cutting the grass, full sweat at 98 degrees and humidity unbelievable that Duluth people don't even understand. And the mower quits. God, I didn't come here. I come here to get something done. And then I go and I get the car running barely. I got it running and got the motorcycle running. I jump into Ben's truck. I'm going to go take it and put new gas in it so it's all ready for him when he gets there. 8 feet outside the garage. Now the thing's in neutral. Won't go and drive. What's up? I get out there and the drive shaft's laying on the ground. I mean 8 feet. God. Well, I had to get a tow truck. They had to bring the thing in there. One of the things on the back broke, and the whole rear end moved back, and the drive shaft fell down. And so then I bring it in there, and you know, right away I get a call. I said, "How is it going?" I said, "Well, it could go better, but I'm still loving Jesus. I'm still loving Jesus. You know, God is still the most important thing." And we had a great time. But you know, yeah, there's. Everywhere we go, we're going to run into little trials. But we got to remember that Jesus, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes he just reminds us that, you know, don't get too confident in the flesh. You still got to be at the mercy of God. You understand that, you know, a lot of people are, he's letting you know that a lot of people are going through things and you need to have mercy on people. There's a lot of people that got trouble and you got to be reminded not to turn your back and say, "Well, we'll pray for you." You got to go help move. More powerful than what we see. Oh, that church, they love us there. Love is demonstrated. Love is something that we do. It's an action. Anyway, verse 16 says that. And it says, that we are children of God, as Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And if children of God, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, indeed if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. You know, there's going to be a little bit of suffering. There's going to be little things we don't feel like doing. But I've always been told that you'll never have what you want to have if you're not willing to do what you don't want to do. And that's a spiritual phrase. If you're not willing to serve God and to put a few things off to the side for God, even though you don't feel like it, or maybe visiting, or see, that's where the world is today. It only does what it wants to do. And that's why so many people are suffering, because no one is there to help others. And yet God is a rewarder of those who help and reach out. He said, the poor I love, the needy I love. And as we begin to put that into our perspective, I don't feel like it. Well, don't feel like it, but if you will, I'm going to give you something that you didn't understand. Man, all of a sudden there's this joy that just all of a sudden pops in that, you know, God begins to fill your life with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God begins to do things that we couldn't get on our own. Goes on, it says, it talks about considering the suffering of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation, listen to this now, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The world is waiting to see life in God, the reality of God's people, God's children. Creation is longing to see the children of God. God is longing to see us believe it in the power and the presence of God to be who he meant us to be. It's all right there. It's just obvious. It says, for the creation was subject to futility, in verse 20, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, that the creation itself would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. God's got a different plan. When God says, my plans and my ways are higher than your ways, they are higher. God has a plan. God wants to save and set free. God wants to do things. And yet, we begin to see that, you know, there's certain little things that God wants to do in our life. Now, a new life, a new start. I don't know about you, but that's what God has. He has a new start. God is doing things, and he keeps telling me, Harley, it always is going to cost something. But, you know, if you want what I have, it's worth it. And, boy, I tell you what, it really is. It's worth serving God. It's worth doing things a little bit, even at times I don't always feel like it. And so that verse 18 in Matthew, I want to read that verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. How many know that the Bible calls us to set the captives free? It's a commission. And so, you know, we see things that what God wants us to do, Paul seen it. He wanted people to be set free of slavery to corruption. He wanted people to have the presence of the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome the world. And so it's the same with us today as we look at this. You know, and so people need to get set free from the workings of the enemy in their lives. Oh, look at the neighborhoods out here. Look at what goes on. If you hide in your house all the time, go take a drive at night one time, just out here on a warm night. Go look around. Just let God touch your heart a little bit, because there's so many needs out there. And you know, God wants to set people free. That's his desire. And so he says, who will go? I'll tell you what, he's a rewarder of them who seek him. How many know that he'll bless those who do that? And so then, you know, everybody, we get in our little prayer closet and we say, bless me, O Lord, bless me, O Lord. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And there's a way to get it. There's a way to get it as we begin to. And then he talks about, again, in the next verse, he says, again, I say to you, if two or more agree on anything on earth, about anything, ask, it shall be done for my Father who's in heaven. And so then I began to realize that, you know, how many are gathering for prayer? How many are grabbing a friend and praying? How many are doing these things today? Very few. We're busy. Life has got us busy. We've got to do contrary to what the world does. And so we need to start grabbing a friend or being part of a prayer thing or whatever it might be, because, you know, if we agree, the power of agreement is greater than the power of the enemy. And then, you know, as you look at some of these verses, it goes on to say, in verse 21, then Peter came after that was said. It says, right away, you know, here he's talking about if you'll pray and gather together my name, and I'll be in your midst. And then Peter says, right, the very next verse, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Where are you coming from, Peter? We're talking about something totally different. You come here, you got something against your brother. See, Peter was off in left field. And Jesus, he said, seven times? And he said, no, seven times 70. And so learning to teach people to forgive. I don't know about you, but it seems like if I like you, I'll let you in. If I like you, I'll let you get close. If I like you, I'll help you. I don't even know where that's biblical, but that's the attitude. You understand? I mean, if I like you, I'll help you. And that's not at all what God said. You know, and so here we are. We got all these things, and we don't like these things, and we get, and yet God says to forgive. Wow. In the midst of all this, suddenly forgiveness comes up. Isn't that something? Because it's an important thing. You can't have agreement if you got all these little issues. You can't have the presence of the Holy Spirit if you resist it, if you quench it. And so God wants us to be right. He wants us to have a right focus. So I don't know about you, but I began to see some things that powerful words in the name of Jesus can set people free from strongholds. And what happens is, is when people get set free from strongholds, they become very likable. Some of my greatest friends are ones that went through the drug rehab, basket cases in the world. But their sin kept them unlikable. And yet God gave us the power to break the powers of sin, binding and loosing and praying and agreeing and forgiving and loving. You know, God, where did the church go? You know what I'm saying? Where did we go? I'm not blaming anybody. Where did we go? We need to begin to get back to the very nitty-gritty of what Paul says. And he begins to preach, and we need to do it in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then one thing for sure. I like this. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Well, I'll tell you what. God, I'm old. And if I pass away before you come, I want some new things to happen. I'd like to see you come, but God, I want to see something happen. Old things pass away. I want to see the old things, the way the old things were done, pass away. And I want people just to begin to be led by the Spirit of God, begin to love one another, make room for one another, their giftings, their talents, begin to see some things, because unlovable people God makes lovable because he sets them free. And he sets them free because we care enough to take time. Amen? That was free. Now, Lord, set me free. Set us free. Father, we thank you for your word. And most of all, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And God, the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit that has come. And Lord, if there's anybody here that has never come to that place where they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, God, let it happen tonight. We want to pray for those that have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, God, that they would come forth at the close of this service. And we're going to get some brethren up here, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've never been really moved by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you don't know whether you have the Holy Spirit, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come on forward. Don't just leave. God wants to do a work in your life. Amen.